Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Welcome to the very latest edition of the Premier View Tipperary GAA podcast. Don't forget to give us a follow if you haven't done so already on Twitter. We are at Premier View Pod. On Facebook, our page is the Premier View Podcast, and on Instagram, where we are Premier View Podcast. We have up-to-the-minute news on all things Tip GAA across all our socials, plus the odd giveaway, so don't miss out. If you're a Spotify listener, don't forget to hit follow and also hit the bell so that you never miss a podcast episode. We are now delighted to introduce our new sponsor, Orga Retro. Go retro with orgaretro.com. Specialists in county retro style clothing. Get yourself organised for 2023 and avail of our 20% discount on all orders until January 31st.
Hello and welcome to the Premier View podcast. Today I'm your host Kevin Ryan for episode 94. I'm joined by Sean Smith of Turles Sarsfields and Colin from Clonmelogue. Right, as we go straight into it again, there's a big weekend of football on this week, but we're here to talk about the hurling. First of all, the National Hurling League. Tipperary are in Group 1B, which for me is the easier of the two competitions. We're in with Laois, who we play Saturday week, Dublin, Kilkenny, Antrim and Waterford. Sean, I'll go to you first. I'm going to ask you, what would your expectations be from Tipperary for this league campaign? Are wins important? Is it more performances? Would you love to see Tipperary bag a league title if possible?
His wins at the end of the day as well, along with performance, like against in the month's league, like people are saying with great performances, 40-50 minutes, good work rate, but yet you lose, you're 8 points up, lose by a point. You want to win these games, you know, and just get a bit of momentum going, like we beat Laois the first day, then go down to Kilkenny. I don't think, last time we won Kilkenny, I think Reds was playing, was that 2006 in the league, was it? So, like, it's a long time ago. We don't win down there, like, and it's something, like, we want to get off our
and
back.
Even last year when they were wounded coming to Semple Stadium, we still made hard work of it, didn't we?
Like, so it's just, we need to just go, like, get the win over Laois. Drive on, you say it is an easier side to draw. You'd expect to beat Laois and Antrim, but, like, then you have people going, oh, it's tape being cocky, but that's, it's not cocky, it's just hurling in the rank. You expect them to win that.
We always seem to have trouble with Dublin.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's what I was going to say. Dublin away, like, it's a Croke. I think it's Croke Park game at 5 o'clock evening. You know, it's... we just kind of... it depends how the first two games go as well. So I just want to see a bit of drive on. Cal will have the work rate in the lads. They'll have the desire, but then you need to start having scores. We can't afford scoring 14, 15 points a game. We need everyone else to chip in, not just 1 point, maybe 2, 3, 4, you know.
How relevant is, do you think, the Munster League for now? Look, with three good games, three close games against Clare, Waterford, and losing the final of Cork. From Liam Cal's perspective, do you think he'll stick with the core of that team, or is it time to bring back in maybe Starty or Noel McGrath, etc., now to build towards more of his championship team? Or do you think there's still lads worth having a look at, really?
Oh, sorry, go on, Colm.
No, Sean, I suppose just to follow up on a lot of what you said there, I think they're like the Munster League has probably served a purpose this year. We definitely look fitter than we did 12 months ago. We seem to be developing a game, a style of game as well that we, you know, would hopefully see us compete. Well, not hopefully, that we'll see us compete a lot better this year. As you said, like it is about wins, though. I think I said this in the podcast the last time. I think the win over Clare was our first win in nearly 12 months since we'd beaten Antrim in the league last year. Like that's pitiful, really. Like, you know, no matter what the context or who you're playing, that's not good. So I think, you know, you can throw in loads of cliches about, you know, winning breeds confidence and, you know, it winning breeds winning and all of that sort of stuff. And one of the things, and I think I probably mentioned this on the board last week, I was disappointed that we lost the game to Cork, particularly in the manner that we lost it. Just like when you're 8 points up with 10 minutes to go, you should be seeing it out. That's just the comment I thought. We should have just held on, got the win, got out of there. You don't have to be blown about it that it's only a Munster League or anything like that, but just get into that habit of winning and seeing out those tight games. And I think all of us with Tipperary teams, that we sort of panic. We have a tendency to panic when we have a lead going into the last 10 minutes. Like, was anybody really, really surprised that Cork caught us in the end? I wasn't, like, you know.
Yeah, I think as long as you're learning from that game, Colin, like, you know, I'd cut him a bit of slack there and say, like, yeah, it's a step above a challenge match or a glorified challenge match. But yeah, I do take your point. Is in losing was certainly a habit for us last year. But like, are we, you know, so we're all going gung-ho for the league now. But then, like, you know, three rounds into it, you're kind of like, does the league even matter? Like, you know, the kind of evenings are getting longer and talk is turning to April and championship things. So, like, again, I'll ask the same question to you, like, Colin. What would you be expecting from Tipperary? Bar, obvious answer is wins, like, but would you be very disappointed if we're not end up in a semi-final now? Which basically, to make a semi-final, I have to say, assuming, as Sean says, we beat Laois and Antrim, you have to beat one of Islay or two of Dublin, Kilkenny and Waterford, probably.
I wouldn't be very disappointed, Kevin, no, because I think realistically, looking at that group, we're behind Kilkenny, we're behind Waterford, much and all, hard and all this is for me to say that. And we're probably, what, on a par with Dublin? And maybe I'm being harsh on Dublin by saying that, like, you know. Yeah. Dublin have given us problems before. I remember going up to Parnell Park, and even in 2010, we won the All-Ireland, and yeah, Dublin turned us over. And, you know, I've memories of going to Croke Park after that when we were champions maybe as well. The following year,
I think it was 2011 in Parnell, we went up there and got a bit of a chastening experience first league game.
We don't have a wonderful record against Dublin, you know, in league hurling. So I wouldn't be very disappointed if we didn't make a semi final, Kevin, because I think where we are at the moment, we're probably not a semi final team. But, like, you know, one of the big criticisms I had after the league campaign of last year is there were so many positions that we hadn't nailed down. We really didn't. We'd no settled team at all. So I think Sean probably mentioned this earlier on as well. You need a settled team at the end of the league. If we had a settled team, we looked fit and we had a style of play, well, then I'd be happy.
That's fair enough. Sean, Atnes, to add to that, maybe on what you'd expect from Tipperary?
It's just as in, like, even last year, the halfback was a Heffernan, was a Campion and McBrien McGrath. Like, they were solid there. Like, they played them again against Laois. They bring, like, Ronan into back from his travels yet there. Like, you know, so...
Well, again, what about O'Mara, who, you know, a lot of us singing his Brian O'Mara, singing his praises after...
Yeah, exactly, yeah, like, there's loads of options that have back at the moment. It's kind of maybe the number three were caught, but then it just brings a learning curve. Many more games, like, he's putting his hand off balls, maybe should, you know, like, I think back to James Barry was 2010 All-Ireland, was it? Was it? He didn't catch the ball, just everything just batted down, just broke, and that was it, like, you know, 16, so... The 16, was it? Yeah, 10, yeah. 10 was way back. Yeah. But you know, like, you just there is what he learned, but, like, do you keep learning that against Laois, Kilkenny, then Dublin?
If he does stick with Breen for this league campaign, because it's very hard thing to do to change your fullback after maybe starting five league games with him, yeah, exactly, or whatever it is. You know, you're basically pot committed at that stage, and I think that's something that Colin Bonner maybe kind of found that last year, in that, like, he wanted to experiment a bit in the league, but I think that he was, you know, after his experimentation, maybe given the results he wanted, he was kind of stuck with those players anyway. Because so it's an interesting.
Be great if we could play two half back lines. We'd do two good half back lines. Is that possible?
Yeah, well, get on to Davy Fitzgerald, I'm sure. So he'll sort you out, and maybe a third one, even a deep line midfield as well. just looking at, I suppose, the other teams in our group. You mentioned maybe Kilkenny, Colin, that are ahead of us, certainly. Dublin. Antrim and Leash, are they definitely, you know, two whipping boys in the group? Like, two of those are just battled out for relegation. Waterford on the border toss there. It's hard to know what to expect. You know, Davies' return there will spark a lot of interest in the media and stuff with him. But, like, you know, are they a beaten docket at this stage? You know, did they have their chance maybe a couple of years ago, or can he get something out of them?
Yeah, I mean, like, they looked at the form team in Ireland at the end of the league last year, you know, and it probably, every, like, when you're asking me about the league this year, I'm straight away thinking about how much we overestimated Waterford after a league campaign last year. And it puts everything that you talk about with the league then into some sort of perspective. But I like, look, with the Munster Championship, Kevin, as we know, any of the teams pretty much are capable of beating anybody on a given day, you know. So, like, somebody asked me an interesting question on the pod recently, like, would Tip have come out of Leinster last year? And actually, when you think about it, they probably would. So would Waterford come out of Leinster? I think they would as well. So what I'm saying is, Waterford and, you know, and Tip by extension are, you know, in the top six or seven teams in the country. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Waterford go well in the league. I wouldn't be surprised to see them come out of Munster either. Like, they have a couple of star players as well. I mean, love them or loathe them, Gleeson has a star quality, you know, and it's something that we've alluded to on the pod the last day we were on, and Sean mentioned it again there about the spread of scores in our forwards probably not being where we'd like it. And do we have a star man to grab a game by the scruff of the neck? Austin Gleeson will certainly do that for Waterford. You know, Kilkenny have it with TJ Reid as well. You know, he's still able to grab the game by the scruff of the neck and do it. So that's probably, I would put Kilkenny ahead of us. I would put Waterford ahead of us at the moment. You can only go on, you know, last year's championship, and Waterford did beat us last year in the championship, you know, and, you know, Kilkenny were in the All-Ireland final and gave Limerick one hell of a game last year. So I would put the two of them ahead. Dublin probably on a par with us, but as we said, we struggled with them in the league. And Leash and Antrim, to be honest with you, if we're not able to beat Leash and Antrim, you know, we might as well fold up the tent and go home, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Dublin the last couple of years probably verging on waste of time there. Obviously new setup in there now, and they might kind of fancy themselves to make that breakthrough in Leinster as well. The other side of the league draw, Limerick, as we know, don't really do the league, or if they win their first game they might have an interest. I know Dermot Burns is still over in Dubai kind of getting ready for a big final of nine-a-side hurling tomorrow, but you've Clare, Cork, Galway, Limerick, Westmeath, who we have to feel sorry for in that one, and Wexford. So it's hard to call, you know, who'd be coming out of that or who'll care. Galway, you know, year two under Henry, you'll probably want to be seeing progress there. Maybe a good league is important for him. Cork, new setup there as well. They'll, similar to Tip, I'd be saying they'd be trying to win a few games. Wexford, Darry Egan as well. Like, you know, again, you could say similar to Tip, maybe lost a few games that they look like winning for long periods and had a great start to the league last year. So maybe they peaked too early. So just thoughts on any of the teams there, lads.
Well, again, we said on the pod in the last few weeks, Kevin, there's not a new managers in there.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. So they'll all, you know, have a point to prove early in the league and will want to be getting off, you know, will want to be getting things off to on a good footing. But, like, it's given what happened last year in the league and the way the championship is structured now, it's very, very difficult to speak about the league with any degree of confidence. You know, you just don't know what's going on. And one thing I would say, though, it's sort of a contradiction then to what happened last year, but I always thought that it's very hard to be playing poor and all the way through the league and then the beginning of April all of a sudden turn it around. Like, to me, that's difficult. I think under the old system I would have thought that, you know, you could be slogging away in the league and then it finished in April and you had 2 months then to get your house exactly, in order. Yeah. You know, and that yeah. used to happen. I've regularly seen, you know, we all remember teams going bad in the league and they'd come out the first round of championships and bejeez, you wouldn't recognize them. You know, and I would have thought last year that the teams who went well in the league would transition well into championship. But that didn't happen with Waterford, you know, and it didn't seem to happen with a number of other teams who went well in the league. So, it's really hard to know. It's just really hard to know.
Yeah, it is. I think, Colin, you raise a good point there because it shows, you know, like the GAA, essentially what they've done is they've tried to cram the same GAA season, just split it down the middle of a club. But, like, yeah, it's something we might need to look at with the league, as in, does it, like, to make it relevant, do we need to start, you know, I don't know, it's just an idea, like seeding, like league results, you know, will kind of determine your seeding in championship or something like that. Because
maybe home and away venue as well, maybe, you know, it could determine like an extra home game in championship or something.
Yeah,
you know,
something like, the league to make it, like, just,
It'll teams fall away if teams,
until the end, like, yeah.
It'll fall away if teams, like, after two or three games, just results aren't there. They've got the win against maybe a poor team in the group. They're not in trouble relegation. And you just kind of say, right, championship, we're playing fourth championship game at home, and that's it. Like, no, focus changes. Like,
exactly. Turning, lads, to a league that I think is certainly working well, and that's the National Football League. Four divisions, teams playing against, you know, their peers of relatively equal strength. There'll be a lot of close games this weekend. Tip have a tough one versus Down, who were relegated from Division 2 last year. Tip, you know, I suppose they have a lot of turnover in players. I think there's only 9 from the 2020 Brigade, Munster winning Brigade left. I suppose, Colin, I'll come to you first. In the, as I said, success here would be retention of your Division 3 status.
Yeah, definitely. Look, there's a huge step up, Kevin, I think, between Division 4 football and Division 3 football. That's the first thing to be said. Like, you know, like Division 4 is competitive in its own way, and that most of the teams down there are around the same level. You know, whereas Division 3, you're coming up against some potentially very strong teams. And I put Down in as a strong team. You know, I think they're fit, they're strong. Any Ulster team you pay are going to be difficult. They're going to present their own problems, like, you know. So I think it's important. We've only 3 games at home this year. I think it's Down, Antrim and Offaly, I think, are the 3 games at home. Yeah, so, like, you'd imagine we'd definitely be targeting the Antrim and the Offaly games as, you know, as 4 points. And then, you know, maybe a free hit on the Down game this weekend. I think
Fermanagh in there as well. I think not home now, but, you know, maybe one that you could be looking at winning.
Yeah, you know, so, but as I said, like, there is quite a step up here. You're going to be coming up against good teams. Like, Down would have, I'm sure Down would have their eyes on promotion this year and a good run in Ulster. I saw them a few times last year in the qualifiers on TV, and they were very impressive. You know, they play a really good brand of football as well. There's plenty of goals in them. So, you know, I think this will be a tough game for Tip. Although I know, listening to Davey Power and the lads over the last few weeks, they were pleased with how the McGrath Cup went. They got a chance to have a look at a lot of players. You know, they had a draw against Limerick the last day out in Feathers, which, you know, and apparently really could have won that game. And, you know, Limerick are a decent side as well, and I would put it on a rung up above Tip. Like, so, you know, I think they've probably got as much as they could get out of the pre-season campaign. I saw some mad stat during the week, Kevin and Sean, that I think from the 2020 team that or panel that won the All-Ireland, won the Munster Championship, I think there's only 8 of them left on the panel now. You know, so that'll tell you.
Wouldn't be surprised at that at all. I think it was 9, but 8, because, like, I understand it, Colin, because, you know, once you climb the mountain, like, you know, a lot of that cohort would have been around in 2016 as well for the run to the semi-final and eventual defeat to Mayo. So, like, you know, there's not much more to achieve.
No, and like we've said this before, I mean, like, and you don't want to be condescending or patronising to anybody, because, you know, anybody should know this. They train just as hard as the hurlers. Like, it's the same. I mean, the commitment that's involved to be an inter-county player in hurling or football at the moment is savage. Like, you know, it can't be underestimated. It's a 7-day-a-week job to be an inter-county footballer or hurler. Like, you know, so you could, as you said, once you get to the top of the mountain, as they did in 2020, you know, I really admire anybody who has the motivation then to come back year after year after that, knowing probably deep down that you're not going to win in All-Ireland. You know, you're not going to win the Munster Championship, but particularly now that Kerry are just gone so ahead of everybody in Munster that, you know, it's hard. I don't know what the pick of the rest of the counties even give Kerry a game at this stage. You know,
yeah, to be honest, that's so big. That's a very good question, and it does seem to be getting worse. It's just funny, in all the provinces, you probably had one or two outstanding teams. Obviously, look, Munster, the one thing you would say about it is it's not as bad as Leinster yet, but, you know, where the Dubs have just farmed and used as challenge games for their, you know, for the later campaign. Ulster's as competitive as ever, but, like, you know, kind of Galway resurgence, but, like, you had Mayo kind of ending up in All-Ireland quarters and semis for a long way, like, but, you know, it is, you know, difficult to see how your Tipperary's, your Carlow's, even your, like, your Westmeads or something are going to keep pace with those kind of, with those counties who just have so much resources and focus towards football.
I think that's why the league is such a good competition in that regard, Kevin, because you're playing against teams of pretty much an equal standard to you, you know, and it's a competition. It's an opportunity to win a competition. It's an opportunity to play in Croke Park in a final. It's an opportunity to lift some silverware. You know, you've got a realistic chance. Like, all the teams in Division 3 will look at it and think, well, you know, on any given day, we might be able to beat the rest of them. And, you know, so they'll be going for promotion and the chance to play in Croke Park, whereas in the provincial situation as it is at the moment, like, realistically, are any of the teams going to beat Kerry? I don't think so. Are any of the Leinster teams going to beat Dublin? I don't think so. Is anybody outside of Galway or Mayo going to win Connacht? I don't think so. You know, so that's why I think the Football League is it's a competition I really like. I'm looking forward to, I think it's Mayo and Galway on television tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to watching that. And I think the Dubs and playing Kildare on TG Cahir as well. So, you know, there's a nice view in there, and there should be good close games and, you know, something definitely to whet the appetite.
Definitely, yeah. And it does seem to hold a bit more weight than its hurling equivalent. Right, lads, I suppose the burning question of the week, you're in the Glen committee room, probably quite hungover on Monday afternoon or Monday evening, and or you get a text from you're in a local pub, we'll say, and you say, look, yeah, what are you going doing here, lads? And geez, I suppose it's every secretary's worst nightmare, Sean. Do you think Glen are right to appeal? Or would you just want to just move on?
They're wrong either way, if they appeal or not appeal. Just I just think it's a farce this year, to be honest. GAA should have called it that bigly. My opinion is Hill McCudd could come back and say, right, there you go, play fine, they won't show up, cups handed over. What's happened? Like, you know, it's that's my gut feeling, to be honest. Like, what? Like, Hill McCudd aren't going to play it. They're not.
But they're the ones that broke the rules. So
I know they broke.
I do think, you know, my own two cents would be like, yeah, they're right to appeal. They're right to object, should I say?
Oh, yeah, 100%,
whether a replay is what they actually want or whatever, but they do raise the point that Kilmacud did have 16. Now, I don't hate this point that, you know, he didn't touch the ball or whatever, because it allowed him to get an extra man in there. And football's all about space or anything.
They're finally acting on the sideline for 5 minutes trying to get him on. Anyway, like, it was, yeah. I don't know what they're at. Like, there's 5 minutes there, the sub standing there going on. We're going on, we're not going on. 4-5 came, they went on. Oh, just, but officially needs to be looked at as well. Like, how in any other sport, say, watch good with NFL or something like, you, if your toe is even on the field, the penalty against it. Like, it's just obvious in soccer, way to come off. Like, how did no one even wonder, like, where's the sub going off?
Colin, would you agree with that? Or,
yeah, well, look, I suppose the first thing I say, Kevin, is I have the greatest sympathy for Derek O'Mahony, first of all, as the referee. I know Derek quite well, and you know, he's in a tough position at the moment, like, you know, and like all of us have been involved in situations like this. Lads are coming in and out of the field the whole time, and you know, you're trying to keep an eye on it, and it's not easy. But look, it's All Ireland final day, and there's you could argue there's enough officials around there that someone should have spotted it. My own view on this, Kevin, is simple. Rules are rules, right? 15 versus 15, like, it's the premise of the GAA, you know, and I think you're setting a very dangerous precedent. If an appeal is lodged and a replay isn't given. I understand all of what you and Sean have said, and to be in a committee the last few weeks, or being a committee in the club in the last week or so, must have been hell on earth trying to figure out what the right thing is to do. But I think you're setting a dangerous precedent here that in future, if a team doesn't like what's going on in the field, they throw a 16th man on or whatever. And it's not as if your man, like, at the end of the day, your man, it's not as if the 16th man, if we call him that, it's not as if he wasn't, that he was standing, you know, leaning against the corner flag, having a,
you're,
you know,
in the field, yeah, corner flag.
He was standing on the goal line. He's you know, to use that sort of soccer parlance, he's interfering with play as far as I'm concerned. He's standing there. They broke the rules. The rule book, as far as I understand it, is very clear on this. If this happens, a replay has to be ordered. So,
GAA
should step in. Like, it just makes no sense.
100%, Sean. I the GAA should have met on this on the Sunday night or, you know, immediately after. As soon as this became clear, it should have been, a ruling should have been made. But in sort of typical GAA Irish fashion, this has been allowed to drag on and drag on.
But I think
on
that's what they want. They'll brush under the carpet, bit of a fine, you know, move on kind of thing, and then the furor will die down. Sean, I suppose it was a fairly routine win for Ballyhale. I suppose they're all off enjoying themselves as a Tiesta
is dead all yesterday. Yeah, it was routine enough, but it wasn't, didn't light it on fire. Like, a half-time, it was kind of a workmanlike kind of performance. Half-time, you know, two up on Cody, probably the difference, got 1-5. But, like, it wasn't, never set the world on fire, and you know, they pulled away in the end. It wasn't like classic, but
it was never going to be a classic with the pitch. But I suppose
what a pitch! It's like playing on absolute sand, does it? It was like rock.
It was good to see. You know, it's good to see. Like, it sounds very like, you know, you're Jesus, like, you know, Plamason again, but it's good to see an Ulster team kind of just competing, like, you know, and they have been consistently competing in the club championships, I think, over the last decades and more. But, you know, it's good to see that branch of Ireland and all that.
Well, they had a different level. Like, Yeovil just, like, you know, they done the job and they done it well. One with these 7 or 8 points, ever was. But, like, didn't just done everything right, not in too fancy, just won the game and that. Just the machine, like, whatever to do it. Like.
Yeah, that's a machine. It's not a big urban machine and all that. You know, it's just, I suppose, the word tradition and that. It's not all bad in Tipperary, lads. We have a full, an all Tipperary Hearty Cup final to look forward to. Turles versus Cashel. So, well done to both schools involved. We might talk that more another day. High school were just edged out after extra time in the B competition. So look, it's good to see Tipperary schools making progress there.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. It shows the spread of unread hurling and Tip is, even see it there last year's under 17 or 15 or 19. The games in all divisions are just humbling, like, and it's shown, but the school has been so strong, like, you know, that school's in the semis and all the quarters were.
Yeah, and a good spread of clubs as well. You know, I didn't see the games, but, you know, definitely a good spread of clubs between your Holy Crosses, your Turles Oaks, your Cashels, like, all contributing, your Boherlands, like, so it's good, I think, for Tipperary hurling that, you know, all the clubs in the hinterlands are getting players on.
Yeah, I think the closeness of the two schools as well for the final, like, it brings an added sort of, I don't know, intimacy to the whole thing. And, you know, I'm sure it'll be a massive build up in both schools and in both towns going forward, and the fact that it's all in Semple Stadium as well is great. You know, it's a chance to showpiece the game and showpiece the two schools and the young hurlers on show. So I think that's all good. And obviously, from a selfish point of view, from a Tipperary hurling point of view, it's great to see. Like, there'll always be hurlers in Tip. You know, we know that, and it's great to see.
Here's a cool fact: a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact. You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, they're coming again, you know, at that level. And hopefully some of them will, you know, I'm not sure how many of them would be on our 17s panel or our 20s panel for the summer. But, you know, it's good to see that there is a production line coming, and credit to both schools. I know, you know, you've Paul DeMar involved, I think, in the SARS setup. You've Eamon Buckley involved there. You've good lads working in Cashel as well. And it's great to see that lads like that are putting it back into the schools, because, you know, like a county will be as strong as its club and its schools. Like, it's great to see. And as you said, Kevin, good to see our old alma mater in the high school as well going well at the moment. There's a lot of work going on down there. I know Michael Breen is the teacher down there. You've Paddy O'Gorman in there as well. You've Dave Nugent from Ballymac. You've Lawler from 4 Mile Water. You know, there's lots of work going in there. Like, so that's really good to see. Just on the Ballyhale thing, I just quickly mentioned, I saw, as ever, PM O'Sullivan was as gracious in victory as ever, just mentioning that.
Blocked her. I think he's blocked me this day, so.
I mentioned that the Kilkenny, I think Ballyhale have won more All-Irelands than all the Tip clubs put together or something. The club All-Ireland, like, you know, they can't win anything without referencing us. Like, it's fantastic that we wind them up so much, like, you know. long may it continue.
Yeah, just able we've a competitive club championship, maybe. It's something, I think, like, there's some stupid stat that Ballyhale have been in 3/4 of Kilkenny or half of Kilkenny county finals over the last 20 or 30 years or whatever it is. Probably more.
Sure, they lose the first few games, end up in a quarter. Yeah. Oh no. just, oh, why? Oh, the system there. You know, like, it's...
Yeah, the system. Well, look, the system allows them to kind of get going, especially if they're coming up a bit of a hangover. Yeah, but, from that.
You know, the thing about it is, I mean, you think you'd be celebrating your club and your county winning in All-Ireland, not looking at it as an opportunity to have a prop off your next-door neighbours. Like, I mean, like, you know, when it comes to All-Ireland's PM and fellow, if there's any Kilkenny listeners, like, we know what the record is between Tip and Kilkenny in the finals, and it's heavily weighted for Tip at the moment, you know. So obviously that is something that's a very sore point with them. And as I said, long may that continue.
And for everyone, even on Premier View, is on the trade, even reading about club game, like, everyone was kind of compliment. There was no, it's like, geez, how good they are, you know, consistency. There's no like, oh, fuck this. No, there's no, and he just then has to go off then and make a dig, like.
Yeah. Is Colin Madnell's exercising it from the weekend or that?
It's funny you should ask me that, Kevin. I did hear I was going to call him a fellow broadcaster, but I'd be doing myself probably a big I'd be digging myself up there in a big way, because I'm obviously not a broadcaster or anything near it. But I was a little taken at how, I suppose, excited Stephen Gleeson was when Cork hit the lead, took the lead last Sunday down in Porky Rin. He seemed to, you know, get very emotional almost about Cork going in front, which I thought was very strange from a Tipperary commentator. So I don't know, like, I certainly wasn't excited to see that winning score going over. Maybe my reaction was probably a little over the top on the other end, in that I was disappointed, but certainly, yeah, I found that a little bit strange. Like, you know, I mean, you can be, I suppose, you have to be objective in commentary, and I get that, but I don't think you should be cheering with joy when an opposition county hits the front on your own county. I found that very, very strange from Stephen. So I'm sure he has good reason for it, but he might come on sometime and tell us about it.
Yeah, tell about his passions and commentating. That's and fair also, enough, lads.
Yeah, and also we have the fixture planned for our own club championship. Well, hurling starting the weekend, the 1st of July, and the football, the 6th of August. So I think that's only the county, isn't it? Division maybe four.
Yeah, that's the county. There's no divisions, I think, plugged in there. But look, hopefully you'll be playing the divisions midweek after an All-Ireland win, is what I'd be saying there. So
not a bridge before that. The Swans, that's be down then, not a bother, why not get another win, and that's the for the year.
The Swan just want the peak for the South Semi or the division, get number 24, whatever they're on now. So, look, I can't say much. We're stuck on one, I think, so.
I suppose, look, it's the other side of the argument about the league and the championship being so condensed. At least there is some certainty for club players going forward. I know we've talked about this to death, but, like, you know, that is the other side of this, that, you know, there is certainty now for lads. They do have a fair idea when games are on. Now, as we saw last year, particularly in the South, Kevin, it didn't exactly go to plan some of the time, and there still is an awful lot of...
Yeah, I think it's good at the higher grades, Colin, but, like, still junior in the South, and so it's still a bit of a...
It's terrible.
I won't say a mess, but, like, it's still... Like, it's pot luck, like, you know, and I think there's a fixture plan there that they should work off there now, like, you know, particularly for South Junior Hurling, just have... Like, just, I don't think it's beyond the wit of man to kind of do something there.
It's completely unacceptable, Kevin. Like, and it's actually what it's doing is, like, lads who'd like to play a bit of social hurling and football in the summer, like, you're completely turning them off. Like, you know, like, there's nobody can explain to me. No, I get the situation probably about the referees maybe, but outside of that, why games can't be played midweek on a Wednesday in summer, junior games, you know,
especially like, you know, junior C, junior D, like, you know, because junior B, for one, it's too serious now because you have some very good teams in it. So, look, that's probably a conversation for another day, but I think it's valid as well.
Go retro with orgaretro.com.
And now we're going to look ahead to the Camogie action for 2023. It's taken fast. The league starting in February for the Tip Senior Camogie. And we have Geraldine Cannan, the Tipperary Camogie PRO on the line. Geraldine, how are you keeping?
How you doing, Enda? Thanks for having me.
No bother at all. So, Geraldine, it's a fresh look to the Tipperary Camogie senior panel. We have new management on board, even though it's a fair bit of continuity involved. Dennis Kelly from Tumi Vara. He's a good appointment, Geraldine. He knows the players inside out, and he's been in the background for the last few years.
Yeah, look, he's been coached there, I suppose, with Bill for the last 2 years, and then he previously was involved, I suppose, a bit in the background when Brian Boyle was the manager. So he, look, he's huge experience, and you know, he's very passionate for the job. And I suppose when Bill decided to step away, you know, Dennis put his hat in the ring, I suppose, quick enough. And yeah, delighted for him that he got it. And it's great. There's kind of fresh faces too to set up as well. And yet you still have a bit of continuity with Dennis as well. You know, he's a new coach there, Michael Ferncombe and Kevin Moran from McCarkey. Linda Grogan is coming in as selector. Oscar O'Dwyer is new strength and conditioning. He's joined by Dermot Lahey, who was there last year as well. And then you have Bobby, who was there last year doing logistics, Maggie O'Grady, video analysis, Kevin Tobin was there last year, performance coach. And he's brought in Kieran Hackett there as well, just recently as a goalkeeping coach. So, you know, it's fresh, it's new, but also it has the experience. You know, Dennis is not starting totally from scratch either. Like I do think it needs maybe some new blood and new players and all that, but I don't think we needed a brand new setup where a manager would have to come in and, you know, totally rebuild. I don't think we needed that. So, you know, I'm personally delighted with the setup now. I think it's exciting.
What do you think happened? Like, I mean, Bill was there, what, 4 or 5 years, and, you know, he got a great turnout of the girls there. And look, last year was just kind of a write-off. What do you put it down to? Is it just a case of things getting a bit stale, or what do you think?
Yeah, I suppose it's probably never really kicked, the year never really kick-started. I think, you know, like the kind of, in the league, they played down and awfully and had big wins. And looking back, maybe, did we think we were going better than we were? You know, like, you probably can't read, obviously you can't read too much into maybe playing teams like that. And then the Munster Championship came and the first game against Limerick and, you know, kind of thought we were flying it again, you know. And, but then Clare, obviously, a different story, went to a replay, lost the replay, and it just kind of, you know, they were hit with a few injuries. I thought the panel was a bit tight anyway, numbers-wise. You know, a few girls, kind of a lot of the panel girls didn't come back. Different reasons, probably COVID being lifted and some of them just went off on J1s and things like that. And a few people didn't commit last year and that left the panel kind of tight. And then as the year went on, they got a few injuries and different things like Creve McCarthy and you know, suddenly, I think for the Cork game, maybe they only had 21 fit players or something like that. And sure, that's not really good for training and stuff like that. So I think the year never really kickstarted till it was too late, really, with the result. You know, they drew against Clare, drew against Dublin, and then they had a win against Wexford and a win against Cork. But it was just too little, too late, really. And yeah, it's hard to put your finger on it. But I do, you know, he's named 36 there now for the league. And that's the kind of numbers you need, obviously. And there's fresh blood there coming in with the minors. But then there's likes of Sir Karine is back and Emer Heffernan is back. And Claude and Karen, obviously, back from injury. Creve McCarthy's on her way back from injury as well. So, do you know, I do think the panel already kind of looks kind of maybe fresher and a bit stronger and a bit more strength and depth already.
Yeah, I just mentioned in the panel there. So, I mean, the big thing there really from the point of view is having Karen Kennedy and Clodagh Quirk fit. They were massive last year.
Yeah, and it's gas, you know, they're only back from injury and straight away they've both been named as joint captains, I suppose.
Yeah.
That shows their kind of pedigree and the calibre and how highly they're thought of by Dennis and the management team. And obviously, you know, they're going to be two of the first names down on the starting list as well. And you know, like we all know how big a loss Karen was last year, but I think, you know, she was back for the club championship and one of her first games back, I just thought she was outstanding. And, you know, I realized, you know, she was, you know, I was only thinking today if we were to pick, you know, if we're going on a transfer market, she is our most valuable player. I think she's in her prime there, you know, and she is a class act there and would be a massive loss if you ever had to go out without her any day. So it's great to see her and Clodagh back. Like Clodagh was fantastic for Clonty again this year, a big part of them getting back to a county final again. And, you know, she's come back from another big injury as well, but, you know, she has huge hunger and add her two of them really likable characters as well. And, you know, popular in the dressing room and in the panel and, you know, two leaders on the field. So they're a big addition straight away for Dennis, I suppose, which Bill didn't have last year, you know.
Yeah. And speaking of good additions, I see that Orlo Dwyer is named on the panel again, which is always exciting for Tipperary supporters, I suppose. A lot of listeners maybe who wouldn't be familiar with the Camogie team would know her name, and she'll be a big boon for Dennis if she can stay fit and she's
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't think she was available for selection. I knew she was home you know, for Christmas and things like that. But I assume she was going back to Australia, but I suppose she doesn't need to go back, you know, no. Until later on in the year. So look, she's available for the league, I suppose, after that. I don't think, you know, anyone really knows for definite what her plans are, but I'd imagine she's going back on, you know, obviously given another year in Australia, but maybe she won't have to go as early as she has other years. She went, you know, she's kind of more established there now, and I know she had to get back for all the preseason training other years, and maybe this year, if Tip were going well, she might say, look, I'm going to hang on and see this out, and that would be brilliant. Yeah. And like her fitness and obviously her power, her pace, you know, there's, you know, it's second to none, like, but I suppose she has missed a good year of Camogie Club and County, and, you know, so look, she'll need loads of hurling, loads of touch and all that, but yeah, she's, you know, again, she's a really good player, and again, it gives the thing another boost as well for the league, so I'm really looking forward to the league now, you know.
How does the league season work over in Australia, do you know, with the Aussie rules, is it a 4 or 5 month season in the winter time, is it?
Yeah, well, they changed it last year. Remember, they were only kind of finished last year, and usually they'd come home, and there was a big kind of up in the air because there was talks of being changed, and it did change. So it happened sooner last year. Mm. Now I think you could technically the Camogie Championship, all that would be over, and you'd be out there, but you'd miss the preseason kind of. You know, I think it gets going maybe. Is it like the end of the summer, beginning of autumn, kind of gets going. But you'd be missing the preseason if, you know, the preseason could be, is it July and August, something like that. While other years it was earlier. So it did change last year. So that's why, you know, I see a lot of them are home now, but I presume come summer to be, depends, you know, as soon as people are knocked out of championship, they'll be gone or even sooner, you know.
Yeah. Hopefully she's around for the whole thing. But the panel there, as we say, a few new faces there. I was just looking through it there. Teresa Ryan from Burris. You've Grace Maloney up from the minors, Mary Burke, who's been playing well for Drum for a long time. And you'll have Corinne Blair back, even though she missed the championship last year. There's players that were there before, but it's like a brand new set of players coming in because they were missing last year, really.
Yeah, and like Teresa Burke there, I suppose, or Teresa Ryan hasn't been there for a few years. She was in Australia, but like she was a very good player. Obviously, you know, the first few years that Bill was there, you know, she was our centre back or a sweeper midfielder. And, you know, I'm delighted. You know, the way if you're away for a few years, you don't know if you're going to come back and give that commitment. But it's great that she is, because she was very good during the summer, Burris Lee. So she's a big plus as well. Look, some of the minors are after coming up. You see Michael Ferncombe has come in as coach. He was the manager of the minors last year. So he's very familiar with, you know, with the Fahy twins from Cashel, Grace Maloney. Lauren Ryan, who was captain of the Ursuline, that won the Munster final last week. Aoife Dwyer from Turles Arsfield. So they're all, I suppose, your top minors are after stepping up and coming into the panel, and they're adding strength and kind of something new and fresh and keeping everyone on their toes. But like you said, Corinne Blair is back, Emer Heffernan, Circa Ryan, all players that are thereabouts the last couple of years. But Wharton on the panel last year, just, you know, I said, there was J1s and different things, but so that's great to see them back, because that's, you know, that's what we need. Like, you know, we need to push in for places. We need, like, what Tip need is every spot is competitive, like that. You know, you have two people fighting for cornerback, two people fighting for midfield, you know, fullback, every position that has to be like really competitive. And I thought that was probably lacking last year. Kind of 15 that went out was kind of nearly set, and you know, we had subs come on, but it just felt like maybe the competition wasn't there for places in training and stuff. So look, the panel looks more competitive already, I think, and, you know, hopefully that'll show once the games kick off.
Yeah, and the games obviously for the seniors kicking off the 18th of February against Galway. Is that at home? Sure, I can't remember.
Yeah, the first game is at home. The league is really tough. It's kind of, they've just changed it around. And, you know,
Galway, Dublin, Cork, Clare and Kilkenny. It's a savage run of fixtures. They'll get
played. Yeah, so then, like, you basically have the top teams in all one group. They've kind of divided up and think it's 1A and 1B. Like last year we had Down, Offaly, Dublin and Galway, you know, which obviously was tricky, but there's no easy games this year, you know, but that's what we want. Like, you know, you have to test girls against the best, like, and, you know, Galway at home is, you know, is a great opener. Like that's a fantastic opener for a Tip. There was a bit of hurt there last year against Galway in the league, you know. Remember Casey got sent off, and there was it was rescinded after, but too late, and there was a controversial free at the end. You know, tip were flying that day, and a lot of people put it down. Actually, you asked me earlier on what happened last year, that that was kind of a big setback last year, and some say they never recovered. I don't know if that was the case, but no, that's a mouth-watering clash really open around the league that I'm sure be a bit of revenge there, hopefully, for Tip.
Absolutely. So you have the big three, basically, in Galway, Cork and Kilkenny. And then do we draw with Dublin and Clare in the championship last year? So
yeah. And, you know, I suppose Waterford is the only team that's missing out of that. But actually, Waterford are in Division 2. They lost the Division 2 final last year. So they're the only team that's missing out of that I suppose made the top four. And, you know, but actually Waterford beat us last year. But Dublin, Clare, like you said, we drew with them. So there's no easy game there. And you know, I don't know what you think of the league, and I always find it funny that you have to get out and try players and try new things and give game time into the panel, but like you can't beat winning games either, and especially for likes of Tip, who, you know, who have been starved of silverware, you know, it's you want to put out a fairly good team, but you also want to try people in the league. But, you know, it would be great to get into a winning habit and be full of confidence going into the championship later on in the summer.
Yeah, I'd say you probably would need that kind of same for the hurlers, really, after such a bad year. You know, the morale's on the ground just to get the wins back on the board and try and get the confidence through the panel again.
You know, then it's going to be looking for a balance there of trying out new girls, but also I suppose your spine of your team is going to have to be strong playing against the Galways and the Corks and the Kilkennys, you know.
Yeah, that's very exciting and something to look forward to. It's going to be a hectic few months in GAA in general and Tip. But there's good news earlier in the month, Gerard. There's the MIC and Tipperary Camogie announced a 5-year partnership for use of the Thurles campus for all the senior, junior, minor, under 16 championship teams. It's a massive deal, and you know, yourself included, Tip Camogie have been putting in great work in the background to try and give the girls the proper facilities and the proper like facilities just to get the work done, the gym work, the training sessions, and it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, it definitely is a step in the right direction, and an exciting move and an exciting new partnership for Tipperary Camogie. You know, we have wonderful County Camogie grounds out in the Rag, and a lot of work has gone into that down through the years by a lot of people. But you know, it is only one pitch, and obviously all the teams can train there and then expect it to be right for matches and all that. So, you know, we have been using Dr. Morris and we have been using other fields and, you know, traveling here, there and everywhere. And, you know, like Dr. Morris has been great to us, but as you know, like the amount of teams that are in there between development squads and GAA and ladies football and hurling and everything and watch football. So like Tip are always out on the lookout for more facilities. And you know, we have used the Mary I pitch in the past, but this is an agreement now that, you know, they come together and it's 50-50 the cost of upgrading the playing field. So that has been done. Just bought, you know, improved the surface and the playing field. And then, you know, Mary I now are putting in upgrading the dressing rooms and the showering facilities, and you know, there'll be access to changing rooms and meeting rooms and things like that for Tipperary. And it's going to be a real kind of, I suppose, home for training and for the teams, for the senior, the juniors, and the minors, county under 16As. It's going to be a centralised position, you know, pitch now in the middle of the county that, you know, that has been lacking. And it just makes so much sense because obviously, you know, the way the college term works, you know, they won't be using it after, you know, February or March, and you know, the weekends it's available as well. And so it's a really good partnership. And Mary I obviously, you know, big plans there for Thurles and, you know, developing. It's a fantastic college now, third level campus. And, you know, it's just exciting to be on board with them and be working together with this.
And it's just, you know, the simple things that you think don't help teams on the pitch, but just having that centralised focal point to meet up and do your training, rather than, you know, chopping and changing every other week, depending on facilities being available, weather, you know, it really puts everything to bed in terms of that.
Yeah, exactly. You have a base, you have a home, you know where training is going to be. And, you know, even some of the players are talking about, you know, when they're away in different counties, they can get the train and things like that to Thurles, you know, which would be an option if you're training somewhere else out in a country parish. So it's great. Like, it is a huge boost. And, you know, in fairness, a lot of work has gone into to get this up and running. And, you know, I think it's only going to grow and get bigger and better. And it's, you know, it's an exciting partnership with MIC, and it's kind of in line with an earlier partnership with St. Joseph's College in Burslea that was you know, established in 2022 as well. And that's a new facility that hopefully will be up and running soon. AstroTurf, the gym is already done, yeah. And teams are in there doing their winter training. So there's an AstroTurf and hurling wall that's going to be open soon as well. So, you know, all that off-field kind of development is very important if you're going to perform on the field.
And just while we have you, Ger, my last question, I haven't been talking to you since Drummond Inch went out in the All-Ireland semi-final. Disappointing end, I suppose. You know, a lot of people on paper would have thought that Drum could have got through that match, but just wasn't to be.
Yeah, look, wasn't to be, you know, and I suppose it is disappointing, you know. You win four county finals in a row and you've two Munster titles, you want to go a bit further, and you know, but it's just so hard to obviously win a Club All-Ireland or even to get to a final, and I suppose Drum just fell short this year again, and it was a pity, I suppose, because I suppose they probably didn't play as well as they could, really. But then they weren't left as well. And, you know, it ended up being a fantastic final, All-Ireland final with Sarsfields won again. And I know, you know, I suppose Sarsfields are the benchmark now and, you know, set the standard very high for anyone else that's going to try and get there and win a Club All-Ireland. And, you know, I suppose Drum just have to go back to the drawing board and, you know, and try and start all over again. And, you know, they'll have a very competitive county championship again next year, no doubt. With the likes of Clonty and Cashel again. I suppose disappointing, but I suppose they can reflect on a, you know, really good year as well, win the county final and win a Munster title as well. So, you know, it's kind of bittersweet year in the end.
Yeah. And you're just before I let you go, you said you're very excited by the setup there with Dennis and all his backroom team involved. How do you see them going this year? I know there hasn't been a ball poked yet, but what do you think the goal for the year will be, and what do you see them achieving?
Well, definitely, look, it was definitely a disappointing, and you'd say, you know, a disappointing year last year, not getting to the knockout stages, and, you know, seeing the likes of Waterford get to an All-Ireland semi-final and really put it up to Cork and stuff like that. So, look, definitely you have to look at an All-Ireland semi-final spot. That has to be the goal. That has to be the kind of standard. And, you know, when you get to there, then you're two games away from winning All-Ireland. But, you know, I think he'll be looking for a really competitive league. He'd be looking to get a few victories in that group and, you know, and to find a few players. I think we probably need to find a few forwards, more attacking, scoring forwards, probably lacking a small bit up front. That's what we need to find. And hopefully he will find that come championship and we'll give the championship a right rattle. You know, who knows, you know, but I definitely think we're good enough to be in the top four. And after that, you know, it's a bit of luck could go a long way as well. And, you know, I'm afraid to dream, but you know, you would love obviously to win an All-Ireland final. And you know, sometimes you think, oh, we're a good bit away from the Galways and Kilkennys, but you know, I often see some of the Galway players or Kilkenny players playing at club games or playing in colleges, and they're like, you know, Tipperary players are every bit as good as them, but it's just, I think when they're together, a collective of the county team, you know, I don't know what it is, but I think a lot of it is just confidence and getting on a winning streak, because individually I think we have players every bit as good you know, as Kilkenny's and the Galway's and the Cork's, but we just have to put it all together, I suppose, a team performance on the day.
Yeah, and hopefully they go well for the year. And thanks for joining us, Geraldine, and we'll get John certainly before the league anyway to preview the Galway match and see how things are shaping up then.
No problem, look forward to it.
Why not?
Go retro with orgaretro.com.
Right, folks, thanks a million. Thanks a million, Sean. Thanks a million, Colm.
Hopefully no bother, lads.
Cheers, Kevin. Perfect.
Good to win in the big ball. Best of luck to all the Super Air teams this weekend.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.